Hey y'all, this is Derek Miller with Hard Rock Haven, and today we are here with Tim Miskimmin from Basement Floor. How's it going, man?
Hey, how you doing, Derek? Good to hear from you again.
Doing well. All right, well, let's dive into your new CD, Greatest Hits Volume 1. I know this answer might take a minute or two, but can you tell us exactly why it's titled Greatest Hits Volume 1, and along with your little record label horror story?
Well, basically, back in the early 80s, we signed a 5-year deal with Atlantic Records. It was actually a custom label from Atlantic called Emerald City Records. And we were supposed to bring out one album a year for 5 years. And we got into the studio, recorded the album just about complete, except for vocals. And we got in a dispute with the record label about publishing.
Okay.
So the thing was basically shelved, and we were playing a lot of shows at the time. We had a, pretty good agent handling us as far as booking. And basically, the album never came out, and we kept getting all these questions from, fans. Hey, when's the album coming out? Why ain't the album out? When's the album coming out?
Right.
And we couldn't explain it. It was a complicated mess with the publishing, and basically they were going to tie up all of our songs, not only the ones that we recorded for the label, but also the ones that we had written, which up to that point had been over a couple hundred songs.
Wow.
But basically, by the time 1983 rolled around, we were deadlocked, couldn't get out of the deal. It was a deadlock thing. So we figured, if we're ever going to get any of our music out, we're going to have to do it on our own.
Right.
So we basically went back into our little home studio, which at the time was just an 8-track Tascam mix, a recorder, half-inch tape recorder, and a little 16-track mixing board, a couple effects, and basically it was the board and all of the effects and the microphones and all were from our live setup. So whenever we came off the road, we would have to drag the stuff out of the truck, set the stuff up in the studio, which took a day. And we've started recording the songs over again. And most of the songs that's on that album was supposed to be on the Atlantic release, which never came out. But there was also several other songs that were recorded during the time. And the reason, getting a long-winded answer to your question, the reason why we called the album Basement Floor Greatest Hits is because we figured by 1983 we should have been on our fourth album.
Right.
And we figured, well, maybe these are our greatest hits. And, we kind of did. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek. We just thought, we got to call it something. So our first album ever released was called Greatest Hits.
That's awesome, man.
And it was just a joke. It was good to get something out. The album sold quite well. It was on a little local Maryland label called Eastern Records.
Okay.
And it did really, really well on the East Coast. We were on TV in 4 or 5 different states, and we got a lot of airplay off of it, radio interviews. And, it was pretty good, but we never got over the thing with Atlantic, and it's a shame that it happened. But, we're soldiers, man. It's just like we could speak for a lot of groups because it happened to a lot of groups. And unfortunately, it's still happening today.
Damn. Well, does that situation today, when you look back, does it still kind of piss you off, or is this something that you kind of let go of a long time ago?
Well, the only thing that pisses me off about it is the fact that all we ever cared was to get songs out and let people decide whether they like them or they hate them.
Right.
And we were never given that opportunity. The music was put on a shelf. Basically, the company wanted us to sign all our publishing away. And, when we decided, me as the chief songwriter at the time, when I decided I wasn't going to let that happen, why give away, 200-plus songs and only have 12 of them out for people to see? I was thinking, man, that's awful, And, the bottom line was that people could never got to hear the music, and that's what disturbed me more than anything.
Okay.
Is because it was that, just that whole deal with the record label that you know, tied us up. And the worst thing, at the time, we had two or three other labels. I know at the time, Capitol Records and Geffen Records was really interested in the band.
Oh, wow.
But by the time we finally got out of the record deal, all the A&R people that liked us and wanted, was very interested in signing us. You know, once they knew we were signed, you know, they said, well, when you get free, you know,
right,
come back. And but by the time we got back, got out of it, it was all these people were gone, so it was like starting over again.
Okay.
And it, you know, that kind of thing was really happened a lot back then, and it's unfortunate because that's the only thing, you know, it isn't the idea of being stars. You know, we're recording music. We were recording back there. It was the number one concern of the band.
Okay.
You know, was to record songs. So I just was, you know, it was upsetting that we were really, really close. I mean, at one time we had a chance. We had gotten some offers from William Morris Agency, and we had a good chance of going on the road with Journey, who was huge back at that time.
Oh, definitely.
Had the album come out. But since it never did, you know, we had no product to sell.
Damn.
You know, and it was just, usually at that time the supporting acts were, you know, new bands with new albums.
Right, right.
And so it never happened. It was unfortunate that you know, but I kind of let it go. But now I use it for, because I do a lot of recording and production with young bands, and now I kind of use it to kind of say, hey, don't let this happen to you.
Right.
But you know what? They're hard-headed. I was hard-headed back then. You know, I mean, we had lawyers. We had a Maryland lawyer. We had a lawyer in New York. We had a management company. We had two or three booking agents that were working for us. And, you know, the bottom line is nobody was looking out for us.
Okay.
Nobody. And not even our management.
Wow.
You know, so it's a shame. But, you know, it things move on. You know, this is what I've always wanted to do, was to be a musician and play music and write music. And,
right.
You know, thank God I'm still doing it.
Definitely, man. Well, let's get on to something a little more positive here, so we don't have to talk about that. But what are your fondest memories of your Basement Floor days? I mean, looking back, what was some of maybe the biggest gigs you played, and maybe some of the other bands that you played with?
We played some shows with bands like the Guess Who.
Okay.
Brownsville Station. Elvin Bishop.
Okay.
It was a lot of those bands that had a couple hits at the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
Of course, some of those names, or most of those names, wouldn't mean anything to most of the listeners today. but back then they were big
bands.
They were
huge, yeah.
You know, Guess Who had a lot of hits.
Definitely.
And you know, so we got to do warm ups. We played we played all over, you know, the East Coast, and we played during that time. We were playing 200 and 300 shows a year.
Okay.
So we were,
wow,
playing. I mean, we were a full time band, and we had our road crew, and we had our light man and our sound man and our road manager. You know, so that's what we did for a living. And you know, it's unfortunate that that's not happening so much today.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of there's, you know, not a lot of venues, a lot of big venues, and that's unfortunate because I've got to work with a couple really good bands, new bands, that's got some really good songs, and it's unfortunate, you know, that vehicle isn't still there. But that's what I loved, is I always loved playing. I loved being able to go out, and you know what we used to do is we would play cover music, but we were playing a lot of originals. And you know, if you were up on stage and you said, hey, this is an original, you know, the people go, ah, original, you know. So we started just playing a song. You know,
uh-huh.
We would have a song hooked with a Wings song or a Bob Seger song, whatever we were playing.
Okay.
And we would go right out of that song and right into our song. And, you know, people would applaud for it and go, yeah, whose song is that? And even there was a couple times, ongoing joke, our bass player, Elmer, used to say, here's a new song by Bob Seger, or here's a new song by whoever, you know. And people would say, hey, I really like that song. And then we would come back and we'd say, oh, you really like that song? Hey, that was ours, you know. It was fun. It was fun because then, you know, after a while, people started coming up and requesting our music. And that's when I knew we were starting to get to some people.
Right.
We were attracting attention to our music. And when we would go out and play the warm-up shows, most of them shows were only 50 minutes, 40 minutes long.
Right.
You know, we would play, you know, like 90% original music.
Jeez.
So that was good. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed that, you know. And if anything about live, I miss those days because the big venues are gone.
Right.
I mean, I know there's several in Pennsylvania, but here in Maryland and a lot of the places that we've been around the East Coast, it's just little places now. Big ones can't afford it, I guess, to stay open.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, that's what I enjoy most. And I think if you asked anybody in the group, that's what they enjoyed is you know, the acceptance of the original music and stuff like that.
Okay, very cool, man. Well, let's get into some of the songs on the quote-unquote new CD. The thing that I really like about Basement Floor, the songs, a lot of times they tell a story. So tell me, who is this Sister Ray that opens up the CD?
That's a funny one. And we were playing a club. We used to play a club in Essex, Maryland, and which is just about 15 minutes outside of Baltimore City.
Okay.
And the place used to be called the Eastern Lounge. And then at some point during the time, I used to come out at midnight dressed in a devil costume with a pitchfork, and I used to do some magic. I used to shoot fire out of my hands.
Okay.
And we used to have explosion boxes and fog. Now, back in the mid-70s when we were doing this, nobody else around town was using that kind of stuff, so it was kind of new.
Right.
You know, a lot of people got into it a little later, but, you know, we kind of got into it, and, you know, so I was the devil. And that was one of the rooms we used to do this show in. It was just a little club. And the people loved it. And the place closed down and reopened, and they titled themselves, they gave the club the name Lucifer. And the first time we walked in there, there's a big drawing of me. You could tell that they were copying me, because I was a little heavy set back at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, there's not too many fat devils, but I was kind of a little heavy set back then. So there's me on the back wall, and I'm like, yeah, this is weird.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
But anyway, we were playing in this club one night, and we noticed that there was a nun out there. And I got talking with her at the end of one of the sets, and I said, you know, what are you doing here? And she goes, well, to be honest with you, I like your music. She says it gives me an uplifting feeling. You guys are a real positive band. You're not negative, you know. And she says, I just like listening to you guys, you know.
Cool.
And her name was Ray.
Okay.
So, I don't know. We went in the club the next day practicing, just trying to work up some new music, and I came up with this Sister Ray deal.
Oh, cool, man.
And that's where that come from. And it was like, you know, it's nothing negative. You know, in the early days, I had trouble talking about it because I didn't want to piss off the Catholics or anything, you know, because I didn't want them to think I was knocking,
right,
you know, nuns or anything like that. I mean, I thought it was great that somebody, you know, was really into our music. So if you listen to the lyrics and you hear what the lyrics say, it's all positive.
Right,
it's not
right.
Negative, you know.
Definitely.
He kind of brought me up and made me, well, I would look out and see her because she was in there a few times. I would look out and see her, and it was, you know, he used to pump me up. Wow, man, we even got nuns watching us, you know. And so that was a pretty neat thing. So, you know, we came up with that song, and it was funny. We wrote it the next day, and that night we were playing in the club, and we played it in there.
Wow.
You know, and that was actually the song, whether this is good or bad, that's actually a song that got us signed with the Atlantic label.
Oh, man, that is very cool. I mean, it's cool as it can be. All right, well, you and I actually talked on the phone about a week ago, and I brought up this idea with you that I thought there's a lot of similarities between the Chili's Ribs commercial, that I Want My Baby Back song, and your song, I'm a Free Man. So are you going to go get paid, man?
You know what? That's... That it's really funny, but, you know, I guess since you let it out that we talked about a week ago. A week ago when you told me that, I didn't even picture it. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember sitting here on the couch with my wife back in the winter months, and it had come on, and I said, that song sounds familiar. You know what I mean? And I didn't really realize that it was kind of very similar to the Because I'm a Free, Mark singing on Free Man. You know, but of course, we couldn't have stole it from them because that song's kind of old.
Yeah, exactly. You guys did it first.
Yeah, and you know, maybe there is a chance. Maybe they'll feature us on the next commercial. How about that?
There you go. That'd be awesome. Well, let's see. I think one of my favorite songs is I Gave You Everything. And I think it's really cool because it really starts melodic, kind of has this classic rock vibe. Then after the guitar solo in the middle of the song, you come back and you sound, you know, a little bit more energy, a little bit more pissed off in your voice, which is just perfect for the song title. So is that song inspired by someone that you once knew, or is this just about, you know, bad relationships in general?
Well, basically, the whole feel of the song is kind of inspired by Wings, you know, the sound of Wings.
Right.
Because we were really into the Beatles and McCartney and all that stuff, so that's musically that's what inspired it. But actually, the basic start off riff piano to that song was Mark. That's a song that me and Mark wrote together.
Okay.
And you know, without saying too much, Mark had a lot of marital problems.
Okay.
You know, he had a lot of girlfriend problems. So. He kind of came up with, I gave you everything, just the concept of I gave you everything, but you gave me nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you took everything. So we usually would practice like 7 till 10 or 11 or midnight or whatever, however long it took. So me and him got in the studio about 5 o'clock that evening, and he sat down at the piano. He goes, hey, this sound like anything? And he played the riff. And I said, well, no, I said, that's cool, you know, and then I said, well, I can't play it, I don't know it yet, so how about you playing it, and I'll just play a straight 4-4 beat on the drums.
Okay.
So we started the tape machine, and we, you know, he played the piano riff, and I played a straight drum beat. We played through the whole song, you know, wasn't too complicated, really, because we played together since we were little guys.
Right.
And then, after we got it printed down, got his piano and my drums, I figured, well, now it's time to do it proper. So what happened is we switched places.
Okay.
I went and played the piano, and he went in and played drums. Well, we kept both pianos. I think his piano might be in the left speaker, and mine's in the right on the mix. And we took my drums out. My drums are gone, and we put his drums in there. And then, you know, we overdubbed the vocals and the bass. It was just a couple things in the song. It's pretty straightforward, and then I played the guitar over it, and it was all done in a couple of hours, which was really cool back then. Was that because you only had 8 tracks, you could finish a song pretty quick. So a lot of that stuff, you know, was rhythm section. You know, it was real quick, and it was real fun, and we had the song just about finished by the time the rest of the guys in the band got there.
Wow.
To practice.
Dang.
So it was but basically the whole feel of that song was created by Mark. Mark got the groove of that song going.
Okay. Well, it's definitely, I absolutely dig that song. You have 2 bonus tracks on the new CD, This Thing Called Love and Indecision. So how did these songs make it onto the re-release?
Well, the original they were recorded and was supposed to be on the original album, but because of vinyl back then, we couldn't fit them on the vinyl without sacrificing level, you know.
Because
the more music you had on vinyl back then, the lower the level got. So we figured, well, we didn't want to deal with that, so we kept the songs off. The song Don't Rush Love, I actually had written to give to Cliff Richard, who was an English artist. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No, I haven't.
He was the English Elvis. I mean, he was very popular in England. And he got popular here in the States back in the late 70s and the early 80s. He had a song called Devil Woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's just a devil woman.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, he did that, and he had a song called It's So Funny How We Don't Talk Anymore.
Okay.
He had a lot of really good songs. I mean, I was a big Cliff Richards fan. But what happened is back in the right around the time that we were recording that, 83, somebody had sent one of our tapes over to Cliff Richards' manager because they thought that we you know, had similar sound. And he had called me at the studio and had wanted the band to come over to England.
Wow.
But I had a brand new baby. My daughter was brand new.
Okay.
And it wasn't something we could do. It wasn't, the timing was wrong.
Right.
And I had written that song in anticipation that I was going to meet him and be able to give the song to him. Somewhere something went wrong, as usual. And we wound up recording the song ourselves, but that recording there is actually the demo.
Oh, okay.
It was a demo, you know, and I mean, gosh, everything was demos back then, come to think of it, you know, because we recorded everything so quick just to get the song idea down. But what we always found out is 9 out of 10 times, if we went back to re-record it, the demo always had a better feel.
Wow.
So we stopped doing demos. We just went in the studio and said, we're going to record.
Okay.
You know, but that's what that song is. And the other song, Indecision, I had written that for an idea for a movie that I was working on that never came about.
Okay.
I always had ideas, you know, and I had this idea of a chase scene, and it just, I don't know, it never worked out. But it was a song that we recorded, like usual, and we figured when I got the tapes out to do these remixing last year and the earlier this year, I decided, well, here's two more songs, might as well put them on there.
Right.
You know, so they're kind of a little bit more laid back than the rest of the album. But,
yep.
You know.
Okay. Well, I actually know you originally from the band Empire, and I thought that release was killer. So, do you have anything else going on besides Basement 4? Are you going to do Empire again? Do you have any other projects going on?
Well, as far as Empire, we have a whole album basically in the can that needs some final overdubs and some mixing. And we just, you know, we ran into some snags, and we couldn't get the band out. You know, when the last album, the Leeches album, came out, you know, just as we were ready to go out on the road, Mark, the drummer, had thrown his hip out.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of kept us from going out and doing a show. And, you know, when you got momentum going with an album, you got, you know, everything builds up. It builds up like a snowball going down the hill, you know, and
right.
You really need to get behind it while it's happening, because we got a lot of good reviews on the album, and we were getting some airplay in some decent towns and that we could have went in and did shows, but that whole project got shelved. So right now, you know, everything is just on hold.
Okay.
You know, there's plenty of music there. I've been working on a solo project, of some stuff that I've been recording over the last several years or so. And we were seriously thinking of doing a reunion thing for Basement Floor.
Cool.
You know, all the original members are around. But Elmer, our bass player, he's got some issues with his lungs. He has trouble breathing sometimes. He's got to use an inhaler.
Okay.
And it was basically, he used to lay carpet back in his young days, and the carpet fibers must have got to him. That's
oh,
what they
man.
Said happened. So he had that happen, and then the worst thing that could ever happen in your life, last year his daughter got killed on a motorcycle.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know, so, and his mom died like a month after that. So
oh,
Elmer's had it tough for the last, you know, 18 months or so, and he's been really behind this project, this reissue and all. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, unless we could go out as the whole band, we didn't really want to do it.
Right.
You know, I kind of got all the other members saying, yeah, we want to do it. But really, you know, Elmer was with Basement Floor from basically day one, you know, him, Mark, and I. And it just wouldn't be right to go out, you know, without that. So right now we're considering doing some shows, but we don't know what to call it just yet.
Okay.
You know, and probably the next thing that we go out as will, whether it's Empire, we're probably going to play a cross section of all the music.
Oh, definitely.
Got the Basement Floor Band, the Empire Band, and then that project we did back in 2002 called Sons of Raleigh.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got that one, too. That was great. Well, all right, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. And is there anything that I left out that you'd like to leave with all of our Hard Rock Haven faithful?
No, you know what? It's just, you know, I'd like people... The cool thing was is that we, you know, the whole reason why the Basement Floor thing came out is because we get a lot of hits. We get about 450,000 hits on our website every year.
Okay.
Which is good. It's pretty good because it's got all the music up there that's out and all, plus several other bands I've worked with. And the reason why is because I got so many emails over the last couple years, hey, how come this Basement Floor album ain't never been out on CD?
Okay.
So I went back in the studio and I got the tapes out. I hadn't heard some of them songs in 20 years, you know, and I got the tapes out and I had to go through that whole baking process because the tapes get sticky and they won't play. And it took me a good month to get those songs a good clean digital transfer. But the cool thing was is that when I finally got it transferred and I actually sat down to start mixing this stuff, you know, there was probably about 16 reels or so of tape. So there's probably 5 or 6 albums worth more music.
Dang.
That's done because one thing Basement Floor did do was record a lot and write a lot of songs.
Right.
So I'm hoping to get this thing out. And the whole idea was is that when I got this thing up and started mixing this stuff, because I'm thinking, man, how good's 8-track going to sound? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's 25 years ago or whatever. And you know, I was it kind of re-energized me and made me excited about this music because, you know, I was like, wow, this stuff doesn't sound that bad considering the technology and how it was recorded. And then hearing all the other music, it instantly made me want to write new music again, more. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the thing is that what I'm hoping is that just people will go out and investigate. They'll go up to basementfloor.com. They'll listen to the songs. You know, the other thing is that we're selling these things for $5 a piece.
Wow.
You know, I read something a while back about Walmart is trying to get the record companies, because Walmart's the biggest record retailer in America. Something like 33%. Out of all the CDs and all sold in America last year was Walmart. So they're trying to put some pressure on the record labels to lower the retail price somewhere between $5.99 and $8.99.
Okay.
And my point is that, you know, I'd rather sell the thing as cheap as we possibly can without making hardly anything on it just to get the music out there because, you know, this music to us, I've had a lot of young kids buy this stuff over the last month since the thing's been out, and the one thing I realize is that to me the music is it's 25 years old, but to these young kids that are listening to it, it's brand new music.
Yeah.
And we even had a local band learning one of the songs.
Cool.
Which is awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just, you know, my point is that I just hope that people will investigate the music because, you know, it's some pretty halfway decent stuff. And the other thing is that they'll get to see where Empire came from.
Okay.
You know, anybody that liked the band Empire, you know, because Empire had a pretty good fan base, they get to see where we come from and get to see some of the differences, you know, some of the similarities as well. You know, because what happened is when Empire got together, it was basically Basement Floor changed its name to Empire back in 1991. And it was because we had signed with a German label called Electrochord, a Graphite, and they didn't like the name Basement Floor, and they suggested the name Empire, and we're like, oh, okay, that's fine, you know, we'll call ourselves anything, you know.
Okay.
but that's where the name came from, and you know, half our fan base was aggravated that we changed our name because they thought Basement Floor was a cool name. So, and then the other people thought that, you know, the other half liked Empire. So it's like, well, we'll call ourselves whatever you want to call us. Just come see us, listen to our music, you know. So if anything, I just hope people will take a listen to the music and, you know, don't look at it as if it's old music. Look at it as if it's the first time you heard it. Okay, let it be new.